Whether you're looking for answers to specific life questions or just seeking to become the best version of you possible, welcome to the Mental Breakdown and Psych Reg podcast, where we offer insight, information, and strategies based upon research and years of practice as clinical psychologists. So sit back, have a listen, and get connected with our hosts, Dr. Bernie Wilkinson and Dr. Richard Marshall. Welcome back. Today's show, we're going to talk about laws and rules and...
Yes, finally.
All those kinds of things.
Right.
Now, I'm going to say this. A lot of times when we talk about, when we bring up the topic, you say finally. There's a lot of things that you want to talk about, isn't there? You like
that
talking
wasn't
about
in
a lot of these
script. let me think for a second.
You like talking about a lot of these things because
you know, I really say finally a lot.
You do, but that's okay because it, you know what it does to me. It reminds me of why we do.
I do.
Why we do these
I do
podcasts?
Now. I didn't know
to begin
now,
with.
But it did to you.
Well, we started these podcasts because you and I sit here. Not necessarily in front of a camera or anything, but we sit here most mornings and we have conversations about some of these different things. And we think, man, we really need to talk to other people about this. We need to let other people need to know some of this stuff and talk about some of these things too. And so I think that that's why you say finally.
Today's
I surprised you.
Today's no, I would hit you, but. Today's fine. There was a meaning by it behind
okay.
Today's. Today's finally had a very specific meaning.
Okay.
Today's finally was finally, we're getting close to mental health parity.
Yes, we are.
We've been in this business. I've been in this business a very long time. You've been in it a pretty long time.
Yeah, getting there.
You know, you're getting.
I'll catch up with you one day.
No. But we have been waiting for parity for several decades.
Right.
And we keep hearing that. When we say parity, we mean that the equity between physical health and mental health coverage by third-party payers.
Right.
And whether it's the government or insurance companies, whoever's making the payments. And there has always been a disparity between physical health coverage and mental health coverage.
Right.
Physical health coverage, you get covered for that, but mental health coverage was treated somehow differently.
Right.
And for several decades now, we keep getting told that there will be parity between the two. It keeps not happening.
Right.
Okay. Now I think
we're getting
in
close.
The new millennium,
mm-hmm.
I think that laws are being passed which have rules attached to them, which are going to really finally, that's what the finally was worth. Finally move us closer to parity.
Yeah. Yeah, I think that I was first introduced to sort of the I guess you would just say the power of the insurance company. Like back in the in the mid to late 90s when I was working in the Department of Psychiatry. And I remember, you know, I remember working with Dr. Silver, who I've mentioned on the podcast before. He was this he was older. He was older than you. He was like...
As unbelievable as that is.
I don't know how that happens, but
there are a few left who are older than him.
He was practicing and he was in his late 80s at the time.
Yeah.
And I remember, you know, this guy has 50 years of experience as a physician. Mm-hmm. You know, he was a physician in World War II. He retired from New York University. He's now about to retire from the University of South Florida. And he diagnosed this kid with a couple of things that were going on because it was happened to be his specialty. And the insurance sent back a thing and said, we don't reimburse for services for that disorder.
Right.
And I remember thinking, what?
Here's this guy who's been at it for 50 years.
Right. And for some reason, they don't reimburse for treatment for that condition. And right. it was Tourette's disorder.
Was it really?
Yeah, it was Tourette's disorder. The kid had Tourette's disorder with a co-occurring ADHD,
sure.
And so he had to change the primary diagnosis to ADHD for the kid to be able to get coverage because otherwise the child amazing. And family wouldn't be able to.
So Tourette's was considered a mental. Wow.
Yeah, it was for whatever reason for that child's coverage it was not included. So. Mm-hmm. That was my introduction to this idea that, you know, the insurance companies really play a large, have a big say in what kind of treatment a person can get or what kind of treatment a person can't get.
What, right.
And so in light of what you were mentioning, It was just over a decade ago, right? Or just almost a decade ago. It was in 2008.
2008.
That the Mental Health Parity and Addictions Law, I think, was the name of it.
Right.
Was signed and started as a way to get us closer to some equity between the way in which physical conditions are managed and the way that mental health conditions are managed.
That's right. In 2008, we had the first law that really began moving us in that direction. Now, the trouble with many of these laws, and this happened in special education, you can write a law, but until you fund it adequately, nothing much happens. Right. Until you write the rules and how will this thing be implemented. Right. For example, with special education law, the law was passed in 1975, but it wasn't implemented until 1978.
Right.
You know, so it takes a while to work out the implementation and funding of these things. But the regulations were set down in 2008.
Right. Right. And they weren't signed until, or it was signed, but it wasn't. The rules and everything weren't really formulated until like 2013.
And that's why, as psychologists, we keep waiting. Back to finally.
Right.
We keep, because we're like, okay, 2008, we finally have parity.
Right.
Well, not exactly.
Not really.
You know, not exactly. We had to wait until 2013 for the rules, funding, and implementation.
Right. And even then.
But then. That's
still
right.
It wasn't.
Not quite there yet.
Right. Mm-hmm. Because I know that even today, there are many things that we attempt to do, need to, you know, as far as trying to implement research-based interventions and strategies and assessment procedures for individuals with various mental health conditions.
Right.
And the insurance company will come back and say, nope.
Can't do that.
Nope. We're not gonna cover that. Sorry. Mm-hmm. You know, I remember having this, I had this huge discussion with a fellow from the insurance company about ADHD.
I remember
you
that.
You know, I was going to do I was going to do testing for the child to determine and identify ADHD. Mm-hmm. And, you know, best practices is, it's best practices that for an ADHD assessment that you look at the skills. You do a direct assessment to, you know, identify the skills. You rule out other things and then you find it. You know, the common practice is questionnaires. We ask about
parent
symptoms.
Parent
and teachers fill out questionnaires, and that's pretty much it. But best practices is to do an assessment. And so we were going to do an evaluation, and the insurance company says that, well, we only approve that kind of testing for neurologically based disorders. And I said, well, ADHD is very well known to be a neurologically based disorder, and I decided to, I chose to. Inform him about some of those neurologically based findings, and he says, "I know what you're saying. I understand what you're saying."
Oh, so he? Oh,
but
okay.
We don't see it that way. And I said, "Well, tell me what you mean." He says, "Well, we go by the American Academy of Pediatrics and their rules for evaluating ADHD." And I said, "Well, then you might refer to paragraph 3 where it talks about." And he goes, "Yeah, we just don't see it that way." And that was the bottom line. And I'm thinking, you know, we really need to, because this kid was complicated. He needed some additional testing because questionnaires in and of themselves remained very vague. It remained very mixed as it relates to what was really going on. And again, it's just, and that just happened a few months ago. So some of these issues continue. Now, we do have another new development that will hopefully continue to move us in the positive direction, and that is the 21st Century Cures Act. And that
signed in?
Signed in 2016.
That's right, 2016. Right. So we have 08, 13, and now 16.
Right.
So this is another guarantee, assurance move. In that direction.
Tease.
In that direction. But what's the problem? It's part of...
It is... I don't know how... It's hard to tell how closely tied it is to the Affordable Care Act.
But it seems to be... I went to a talk by a school district that said there is money in the Affordable Care Act that has been targeted for mental health services in the school.
Okay.
Right.
And that must be this 21st century.
It could be moving in that act. Direction.
Because there's money set aside. It's earmarked specifically for use by school districts for these children who have mental illness and can't get treatment anywhere else.
Right.
Okay. However, that's been linked to the Affordable Care Act.
Right.
So as we speak, in fact, last night, the Senate and House have started the process of dismantling the Affordable Care Act. So what will happen in the future now, we're just not sure.
Right.
You know,
right.
It's one of those uncertainties that that everybody's talking about. We don't really know what's going to happen now.
And I think that there's it's so unfortunate because we know that it can work. Yeah. You know, we have examples of it here in the United States and overseas.
Right.
So here in the United States, you know, I remember a couple of years ago, I went up and visited a hospital in Rhode Island.
Right.
And that, now, Rhode Island is smaller than the county we live in here in Florida.
Right.
But nonetheless, the state decided that they would put money into the school system to cover mental health services. And so a lot of schools have mental health professionals. Mm-hmm. They have, in some of the schools, they have entire classrooms that are led by mental health professionals or teachers who have mental health training that can manage, you know, children with behavioral and emotional difficulties, and the kids that, and they have psychiatrists that go to the schools and provide treatment that the parents don't have to pay for.
When I was at the University of Texas in Austin, it was in the 90s, early, middle 90s, and a movement had just started, a new movement had just started called Full Service Schools, where schools provided immunizations, nursing care for kids,
dental care, vision care,
and mental health care
for
kids living in that area. So parents could actually come to school after school or in the evening to access mental health services they couldn't get anywhere else. That died a quick and painful death after a couple of years. The issue, of course, is funding.
Right.
You know, who pays for this? So we were very excited when we got to the new millennium and these new parity laws began to appear.
Right.
And once again, however, with the change in administration, we're not sure what's going to happen to this, especially the funding part.
Right. So. Now, another great example actually is happening over in the United Kingdom, over in England, where there was just an article released or published within the last week. I think it was, I have it right here on the screen, January 9th. Where they were talking about every teacher, it says that teachers in all secondary schools to be offered mental health training. And so what the plan is, it seems, that all the teachers in secondary schools will receive some education and some training in identifying and managing mental health conditions and issues in children.
It's comparable to our first responder training.
Right.
You know, that we're beginning to train first responders in mental health because many of the problems they encounter are really mental health problems.
Right.
They're not criminal behavior. It's emotional disorders, mental behavioral disorders that really should be managed very differently.
Absolutely.
So hopefully these are signs that times are changing.
Right.
But it's important to keep up with what's going on in Washington these days because the fate of real mental health parity now rests with the Congress and the new president.
Right. So you know, if you see anything about it, if you hear people talking about it, if you can just educate yourself about it, it would be great, and make sure that you're communicating, you know, these things to your representatives, because that's how it's going to happen.
It is conceivable. It is conceivable that if you have mental health coverage now, if the Affordable Care Act is dissolved, that you might come in for your next, it could be that you could come in for your next appointment. It may not be covered. I don't know. We'll find out.
I don't know how quickly that will happen.
There is an organization called the National Alliance of Mental Illness, NAMI. They're sort of keeping tabs on this whole thing. So if you want a very readable If you want an easy way to keep up with these issues, you may want to go to the NAMI website, because they seem to have their finger on the pulse of this issue, because as patient advocates, this would be very important for them. So you may want to keep tabs on this thing, at least as it's working its way through the new Congress.
And we'll do our best to keep up with it as well.
Try to keep up to date.
You know, it's ever changing and it's tough to keep up with. And you know, some of the stuff is just so difficult to understand. I mean, it's so frustrating the way that things are tied to other things. So it's like, you know, oh, this little piece here, you know, if you approve that, then, you know, hey, we'll give all third graders guns.
And somewhere there's a little fine print that say, well, that's not really what we meant.
Exactly. You know, That's
or there's this little provision that nobody really read, but somebody digs it out when you least expect it.
Or again, they tie something to it that like nobody would vote for. And it's like, well,
I didn't know.
We don't want that piece. We want this piece, but we don't want this piece. And these things are written together.
So hopefully, who was ever making these decisions in Washington will not forget that mental health care should be on a par with physical health care, just as important.
Yeah.
So we'll keep an eye on it. We'll try to keep you up to date.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's it for today. We'll be back with another episode. So make sure that you come back, check back often. And, you know, subscribe, follow, all that good stuff we are.
And if you have any access to this information, please let us know. Help us stay up to date. Help us stay informed.
Absolutely. So until next time, I'm Dr. Bernie.
Dr. Richard.
Stay happy and healthy. And forget to be afraid.